Hey, Anna, how does the moon cut his hair?
I don't know how.
That's it? You're not going to try to, like,
I'm afraid of what you're going to say right now. I don't know.
Eclipse it.
Oh, my God.
I know. Isn't that good?
We need, like, a rim shot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Pot up.
All right, let's add that in.
That joke needs to come with a 2-drink minimum.
Yeah, well, so much for the facts. Let's just go into the jokes right away. Anyway, from the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, this is Looking Up. I'm Dean Regas.
And I'm Anna Heeman. In this episode, we'll talk about the upcoming total solar eclipse, and our guest is James Albury, Dean's co-host on Stargazers and director of the Kika Silva Pla Planetarium at Santa Fe College in Florida. Plus, we're going to answer one of those crazy kid questions. All right, so we're getting close to the eclipse. I can't believe it.
So that joke was no good, huh?
That joke was like, oh my God.
You laugh at all jokes, but that one for some reason doesn't hit. Oh man!
That's something I would say to you. You don't say that to me.
Well, that's why it's so fun. We throw it around. We switch it around. Do the switcheroo.
I think I'm still recovering from the switcheroo.
Okay, all right.
You know, it's like that
all
was.
All right, let's get back on track.
Yeah,
eclipse.
That's right. Let's get
eclipse.
Serious.
All right.
Right. So, I am going to use that though. I just want you to know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna, like,
it's
pass it off
not
as my
patented.
Own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bad jokes aside, you know, we've been working together for a few years or a couple years over, and I have feel like we've been talking about this eclipse since I started, and now everyone's getting excited.
Yes.
How is your excitement level as we're ramping up here?
My excitement level is at fever pitch right now. This is something I've been looking forward to for a long time. I've had August 21st, 2017 on my calendar since I started at the observatory back in 2000. This is like...
Oh,
this is
Lord.
the Super Bowl, the All-Star Game, the World Series. I don't know, whatever you can think of. This is like the big thing. This is the big one.
I'm sorry, but sports references are lost on
okay.
me, but I'll try to go with that.
Probably
okay,
our,
I get
with
it.
Our audience as well, but that's okay. what's interesting is that I'm kind of in this bubble where I've been looking forward to this for 17 years, and I just assume everybody else is in the same boat that, you know, when I'm talking to them, they're like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And like,
yeah, that is not the case.
They have a countdown clock in their kitchen, and they're like crossing off the days with big X's. But I assume that maybe people are kind of new to this.
Yeah, I think that's probably... I have noticed, though, that, like, now we're, you know, pretty close, and it's like the news coverage is... I mean, it's legit.
Yeah, what have you heard that gets you the most excited about this upcoming eclipse?
Well, I'm excited about the fact that even... I know that, you know, Michael Bakich said that it's not good enough at 90%. I am just excited that I'm going to be able to hopefully experience it, and I will be at the observatory. I know you won't. You're going to be out whatever, chasing it wherever, but some of us have to work, so I'm going to be there, and I think it's going to be exciting to be with other people and to be able to experience it, even though I can't see totality.
Right. Now, let's
I hope it's okay.
Let's
I'm
correct
so
this. Michael Bakich basically berated you for wanting to not see a total eclipse. She said, 90%? Are you
brutal.
Crazy?
Yeah.
I mean...
it was a takedown.
Yeah. So, but we appreciate that you are going to stay at the observatory, help the hundreds and hundreds of people that are going to come there to look at the eclipse, partial eclipse. This thing is amazing. I mean, it's... We hear about other astronomical events like meteor showers or
lunar eclipses,
and that kind of stuff. And those are cool, but this is like off the charts. This is on another level.
Wow.
This is you're outside and the sun disappears and you look up and where the sun was, it's gone. I mean, it is really cool. I mean, it gives me chills just thinking about it.
Well, now I have chills, but for a different reason. I'm a little worried. It's going to be really weird. But
I know.
I'm excited. I'm just kidding. It's
yeah.
Great. Go ahead.
So I'm still trying to sell this to you for some reason.
I'm on board. I'm
I
on board. But, you know, I don't want to ask. I'm afraid to ask this, but what are you going to do if it's – should I even say it?
Don't.
Okay.
Even.
I won't say what are you going to do if it's cloudy. I'm just going to say – it's going to be great.
there is no possibility it will be cloudy.
No,
there is no possibility. I am not prepared for that at all.
Emotionally.
Emotionally. No, I will say that I am a total wreck basket case on eclipse day. You do not want to be anywhere near me on eclipse day.
I can't imagine that because you're pretty even keeled, but okay.
Every little passing cloud, little wispy thing will will get my heart racing because I don't want to miss this. This thing is like, this is everything. And I know there's going to be another one in 7 years, but in the United States, but I mean.
Is it the same as this one or what's different between that one? Not that I'm not excited about this one.
Right, I
am. I'm bumped. But I want now I have 7 years to make my plans for the next one.
Oh, I don't want to look ahead. I can't go that far. I
gotta, keep looking up, but not ahead.
Not that far.
That's right.
No, so yeah, that one will be April 8th, 2024, going from kind of Mexico, Texas, all the way up through Ohio and Montreal and out to – that one's going to be really close to Cincinnati. But yeah, let's not go there.
Let's not. You're
right. We're taking happy thoughts.
Absolutely.
August 21st.
We know what an optimist you are, so I think
August,
it's great.
August 21st is going to be sunny from coast to coast, and nobody will be so cloud cover is definitely one of my worries because if it's cloudy, then that's it. That's a real bummer.
So you can't go in because it's what are the times that it's like that's happening?
Yeah. So I guess Eastern time zone, it's going to be somewhere between 1 and 4 is when the partial eclipse happens, and totality is right around 2:30-ish, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Central time zone, it's a little bit more like 1 something. Each time zone is just a little bit different. But the maximum totality is going to be about 2 minutes and 40 seconds. So only you have to be in the right place at the right time to see 2 minutes and 40 seconds of the sun covered by the moon. That's how precise it is.
This is crazy.
I'm getting you stressed now.
I'm a little stressed out too.
I'm like, what? How am I going to do that? Because if it's cloudy in one place.
Well, you're going to be able to see if it's going to be cloudy.
That's
right?
True. There's some weather predictive techniques that you can do that.
Right.
So you could look at the 7-day forecast, and then there's this website called Clear Sky Clock or Clear Dark Sky that can give you a pretty good 2-day forecast of how likely it's going to be clear. That's the one I use a lot.
Is it accurate?
It is very accurate.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. It's an accurate, pretty good because they can do 2 days in advance, no problem.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to go 2 days in advance and see where I have to go and drive to and go for it from there because I don't think I can deal with a cloudy.
Oh my gosh.
You're not going to like to be around me after that. If I come back and no eclipse.
Oh my gosh. You're going to be even grumpier.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty grumpy usually. So this is
really
going to be bad news.
Oh man.
But
here's hoping.
But no, I think it's going to be good. I think there's one other little part about this that I'm a little worried about, and that's traffic. I think I'm in my bubble here where everybody has the countdown clock. I think everybody is going to get in their car and drive down to that path. Of course, I guess that's probably not going to happen. But I am really concerned about traffic that people are going to leave and they're going to wake up in the morning. Their Twitter feed's going to say, hey, there's an eclipse today. Go out and look at it.
That's a good point.
And so, actually, it kind of crossed my mind the other day when I was doing an eclipse talk. I was like, maybe I should talk these people out of going to see it. I don't want to share.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. This is how it gets you. It gets in your head.
Isn't this like – this is like – what does that oath doctors take? Like, you're supposed to be – you can't, like, talk people out of doing exciting astronomical-related things.
I know. This is what the eclipse
does
to –
you said that out loud.
I know. It doesn't – I didn't say it out
you're
loud.
A monster.
I thought it.
I mean, on this podcast.
Oh, right.
People are going to hear this be like,
true.
Oh, geez. I called you a monster. I'm just sorry.
this is the power of the eclipse. It turns rational individuals and astronomers into crazy. I mean, they have to see it. This is like what's been done for the last 100 years. Our my predecessors at the observatory, all their astronomers, crazy. They tried to go to these eclipses. We had one guy that went out to Pikes Peak, and we had another guy who went out to South Dakota, and another guy went to New Hampshire, and some of them were clear, some of them were cloudy. And so I'm hoping for clear. Oh, boy.
I honestly am, too, because the intensity with which you're talking about this is starting to kind of weird me out a little bit. Like, it's like, this is intense. I'm just excited that we're going to be able to have this happening. I'll hopefully see a little something. I mean, I'm excited, too, but I'm not like...
No, this is a really great opportunity for everybody in the entire country will get at least a partial eclipse. And so that's what's going to be super awesome about this. This is this is something that anybody can see with very minimal equipment. So Let's get ready. August 21st. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
All right, now that I'm calmed down a little bit, let's continue our conversation about the August 21st eclipse with my friend and co-host of Stargazers, James Albury. James, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Dean.
Well, so, you know, everybody's talking about the eclipse. Everybody's excited about the eclipse. How are you feeling so far?
Yes, I am quite excited because not only will I have the opportunity to see my first total solar eclipse, but here in my town, Gainesville, Florida, we're going to get 89% coverage of the sun. So it's going to be an extreme partial eclipse for us. So we're getting our community excited. We've ordered our eclipse shades, and we're going to be distributing them throughout our campus here at Santa Fe College and a local educational foundation that we have, the Asterion Foundation. They ordered about 3,000 eclipse viewers, and they distributed them to all of the public libraries here in our county so that people can come and pick them up from there. So we're excited, and we're getting ready. It's not too long away.
So. Less than a month. And yeah. So if you know, because most of the country is going to be, it's going to be a partial eclipse for them. What's your recommendations for everybody that's seen a partial eclipse? What would you do?
Well, if it's a partial eclipse and you've already seen a partial eclipse and you can take time off on that Monday, I'd highly encourage you to try to go to a city relatively nearby that is within centerline. And the beautiful thing about this particular solar eclipse, it's going to travel from Salem, Oregon, all the way to Charleston, South Carolina, on the afternoon of Monday, August the 21st.
Wait. So you're advocating people to leave their cushy jobs at the Kika Silva Plot Planetarium and travel away from home and leave other people to see the partial eclipse? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, if you're over 50, I think you should definitely do it because I turn 50 4 days after the eclipse, and that means I only have 3 more eclipses in the United States that I can see in my lifetime.
So, but you're okay, James, with the fact that it's not, you're not going to be in that path of totality. You're good with it.
Yeah. If say for example, if I wasn't able to see totality, I'm okay with seeing the partial because this is going to be a deep partial. Because anybody who's within say about 300 or 400 miles of the edge of center line will still see an extremely good partial eclipse.
Right. So that's good enough. I mean, it's something. It's going to be covered. Mm-hmm. And some people can't just pick up and just leave and travel.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
some people have to, hold the fort down.
And I mean, and the economy will collapse. I mean, if everybody leaves work and everyone's
that's a good
on the
point.
Interstate.
Yeah,
I never thought of that. Well, I put in my my time off about 15 years ago. So I put this date that I have this off. So I think I got seniority on that one.
You know, we need more scientists as politicians because we could have had a national holiday.
Oh.
I know. That would have been great. I mean, think about that. You don't have to go to work. There's no school. I mean, what we're coming across is that's the first day of classes at the University of Cincinnati.
Yeah, same here at UF and at Santa Fe College. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but the cool thing that we did for our first, we have our college president has a collective convocation 2 days before the eclipse. It's on the Friday prior to the eclipse, mm-hmm. and he's going to actually talk about the eclipse. He'll mention it, and then everyone, all of our faculty members and staff members will get eclipse shades during the convocation, and we're going to try to arrange for, on the day of the eclipse, the students who are in classes at that time will be able to step outside for a few minutes to experience the maximum of the partial, which will happen at about 2:47 in the afternoon for us.
I was going to say, are they going to try, students going to be like, sorry, I missed class. I was watching the solar eclipse very closely.
Oh, no, but all the faculty members will know.
Oh, that's good.
Because we're publicizing it to everybody.
Yeah, it's exciting.
At least at our college. Because this is I think it's a great way to kick off the beginning of this new term.
Yeah.
Well, I've written an astronomer note that I've passed out to people that they can give to their employer to get them off of work, which should work probably in all cases, wouldn't you think? Astronomer note.
Well, if it's from Dean Regas, you know, you have to make sure it's on your letterhead with all.
Oh yeah,
you know.
That's a good idea.
Please don't encourage him, James.
Maybe
that's,
I should.
Dr. Neil Tyson does.
I could kiss the envelope.
That's, my God.
My seal on the envelope. I don't know.
And
okay, too much.
Ring. Boom.
Too much. So what's your plans? Where are you going? What do you think you're going to see?
Okay, so on Sunday evening, my wife and my son. My son, he's 6 years old. We are going to hop in the car, and we're spending the night in a hotel just outside of Augusta, Georgia. And we're gonna spend the night there, and then when we check out Monday morning, we're gonna drive to Lexington, South Carolina, which is not, it's just outside of Columbia, just south, kind of southwest of it, but it's closer to center line than Columbia is. So we're gonna just hang out there until the eclipse happens, and then once the eclipse is over, we're gonna drive back home. It's about a five and a half hour drive from Gainesville, Florida to that part of South Carolina.
That's not too bad. What equipment are you bringing, or what would you recommend for people to bring to look at this eclipse?
Well, definitely you want to bring something that will, if you're going to attempt to look at it directly, definitely take something that you can, eclipse shades. There are quite a few, there's even a hardware store here in our area that sells an eclipse kit. They have eclipse shades, and they also have an eclipse kit, I think, that was endorsed by Fred Espenak, that has information about the eclipse, and it has solar-approved viewing glasses, shades. You know, like they look like the 3D glasses. They're made of cardboard, and they have the film in it to keep you from damaging your eyesight.
Yeah, I've heard that the hardware stores in town have those, too, and little packs. Of course, as the day gets closer, the price goes up, right? I mean, it's
Course. Now, the thing about the reason why observing solar eclipses can be dangerous is because, particularly for people who are going to be near the deep partial stages, it will actually get a little bit darker outside. And whenever it gets dark, your irises relax and open up your pupils to let more light in. Then you're more tempted to look at the sun for long periods of time because it doesn't seem as bright outside. But that little fingernail-shaped crescent of the sun is still so bright that you're looking at it. And if you ever notice when you're in a room and someone takes a flash picture of you, still see that after image of the flash in your eye?
Oh, yeah.
Well, imagine the lens of your eye being like a magnifying glass and you're looking at the sun. You will actually put a crescent-shaped area of damage on your retina, and your eye doesn't look in one area, it kind of drifts around, so you will end up ruining your center field of vision with all those little crescent shaped, I don't really want to say burn marks, but it damages the center part of your eye. So you'll still be able to see in the periphery, but your center vision will be gone. And that's the whole blindness thing, because you're not going to go completely, totally blind where you can't see anything. But it ruins your central focus of vision, which is how you see. So
at all stages of the eclipse, you need to be wearing something, though. You shouldn't be, or is it just at like the critical
moment? The only time that you're actually able to look at the sun without doing damage is during totality, when the moon is completely covering the sun. Because even with annular solar eclipses, with an annular solar eclipse, the moon is a little further away from us than it would be on average, and it isn't able to completely cover the disk of the sun, so the edge of the sun is still visible. So during annular solar eclipses, people still have to wear the eye protection when the moon is at the center of its path across the disk of the sun. But with a total, it'll completely cover the disk of the sun, and the neat thing about that is not only will it be dark, but you'll actually see the sun's outer atmosphere, the corona, appear. Wow. And that I've heard from many people that experience alone is, seeing pictures of it doesn't do it justice. You actually have to experience it, because you actually can feel the temperature change. And then if you listen to, life around you, the birds, they'll either stop chirping or start chirping or something bizarre. And people go to Walmart and sacrifice goats in the parking lot and all sorts of weird things. But anyway.
But yeah, it is one of those amazing things. I mean, I've seen one, and it really was life changing. And I think like one of the things you point out is, so the only time you can look at this is at totality. That's with the naked eye. I think there's this misconception. It's kind of funny that people think, we can't look at the eclipse even when it's in totality. They somehow think that during that time they will go blinder. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, go more blind.
That's right.
It's almost like, don't look at the face of Medusa or you'll turn to stone.
Right. But then if you look at it when it's eclipsed, you'll get even more turned to stone. No, it's
Seems like kind of an all or nothing thing, being blind or not blind. I don't know.
But also, I think this is part of some of the mystique about eclipses that's been passed down through history, because a lot of people first didn't know what caused eclipses. So they were frightened of what was happening at the time, because all of a sudden the sun is being gobbled up by something, or even with a lunar eclipse, the moon is this red, this shadow or whatever. They didn't know what it was, but the moon is turning a blood red during an eclipse. So they would usually either have some sort of sacrificial event happening, or everyone would go inside and hide and pray and so on. And just I guess when you think of how our ancestors must have felt not knowing what was going on, that being passed down, and then also everyone saying, oh, well, don't go outside during the eclipse, because a lot of not say urban legends, but a lot of superstitions evolved from the same thing about, you know, not looking at the sun and something bad must be happening. Maybe the gods are displeased with us. That's why the sun is disappearing and those sorts of things.
Oh, yeah. It's a freaky experience. I mean, the light is so weird. I mean, I think the same thing. If I was living a couple thousand years ago and I look up and the sun's gone, that's time to have a little panic attack. I think it's a little time for a little freak out or something.
Yeah, because think of it, if people didn't know that there was an eclipse going on, most people don't look up at the sun. They wouldn't, if an eclipse was happening, you won't even know that it's happening until totality occurs, or if it's a deep partial, you won't know until you get to that moment where most of the sun is covered, and all of a sudden, is it dim outside? Because I haven't, Dean, have you ever seen where it was a deep partial, or it was like 90%. I've heard that Venus is visible, and it's dark enough that it's noticeably dimmer outside.
Yeah, the only I saw an annular eclipse, so it was the moon was too far away to block out the whole sun, and the light did get a little dimmer, so I mean, it was in the 90-something percent eclipse. I didn't see any planets or anything like that, stars in the daytime, but the light was weird, and the shadows were kind of eerie, and so that's the other thing people can do is look for the light coming through trees on the ground that'll look like little crescents, and the shadows will be a little less distinct than they were before.
I'm a little weirded out now, guys. I thought it was going to be, like, cool, and now it sounds creepy.
Well, but it's a cool kind of creepy.
What percent cool and what percent creepy, James? Break it down for me. Well, I'm worried.
Well, one of my friends who is a professor at the university, who he was one of my professors. Now he's retired, but he said that he actually saw a total eclipse where it was clouded out, and he was in totality. And he said the way that the clouds looked and the shadows from, you know, the shadow from the moon, even looked weird when it was completely overcast and totality hit. Hmm. So that gives me some hope that, you know, if I do get clouded out and don't get to see the corona, at least the environmental effects of the total eclipse will still be significant and memorable.
Well, we're really hoping for good weather all across the country, and we wish you clear skies, James, and all your travels, and hopefully you'll be able to see it nice and clearly.
Thank you. And the thing I like about this eclipse is going to be it'll be the best documented total solar eclipse in history.
Yes.
Because it's going to cover a majority of the United States, more people have exposure to it, and we've got cell phones and smartphones and all sorts of stuff, so people will be able to record their experiences and share them either on, you know, live social media like Facebook or
Instagram, a good point.
Things like that. And it's just, I'm excited.
And be sure to tweet all your pictures and birthday wishes to James Alberry, care of Kika Silva Plot Planetarium, because it'll be your big birthday right afterwards.
Yeah, I remember when I was a teenager and I was looking up eclipses, I noticed that there was going to be a total solar eclipse 4 days after my 50th birthday, and now it's finally here. And it's like, oh my gosh.
You've been planning for a while.
Yeah, so after the eclipse, we're driving back to Gainesville. I'm going to drop my son off with his grandma so she can take him to school. And my wife and I are going to go on a week-long vacation to visit Denver, Colorado, where I was born.
Oh, that's awesome. And celebrate. And celebrate.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great, James. We're so glad to have you here talking about this stuff. And let me know how your adventure goes with the eclipse chase.
Yeah, well, someone actually asked me, can a person actually chase the eclipse? And unfortunately, you'd have to travel really fast. If you were to start even in an airplane in Salem, Oregon, the moon will still outrun you.
Yeah, even if you're a supersonic jet, yeah, you have to go a couple thousand miles an hour.
Yeah, because I think it takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours for the shadow to go from coast to coast.
Yep.
About that? Yeah.
Yep. Well, we can't wait. I know Anna is like on the edge of her seat. She now thinks it's going to be this creepy thing. And
I'm okay with them with being at a place where it's only going to be like 90%. I'm excited. It's going to be fine. Someone's got to hold the fort down at the observatory, James. You know what I'm saying? Dean's going to take off, so...
Oh, we've been talking with James Albury from the Kika Silva Plot Planetarium in Florida and the co-host of Stargazers on PBS. Thanks again, James.
Thanks, James.
You're welcome. Keep looking up.
As you can imagine, during Dean's outreach work, he gets to visit lots of schools and lots of students, and they sometimes have some really kind of crazy questions for Dean and for our educators. And I picked one out for him to answer. And you don't know what it, you don't know what this is going to be, but I want you to know it is sort of timely.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So it's like, you know, it's a, there's a theme I'm sort of working on here.
Okay.
So one of the questions that we've gotten recently is during the eclipse, they'll be partially without the sun, but will be without the sun. But what if there were no sun at all?
No sun at all. The sun's
that's
like
what that's
gone.
The question on deck. The kids want to know.
Wow, that's man, that's
these
a
kids
tough
are
one.
Deep. I did not think this deeply when I was a kid. I was more like, when is it snack time? But
no,
I mean,
actually, I've heard this question a lot.
Really?
I'm surprised. It's I don't know if the kids are morbid, if they're like, so if the sun's gone, what happens?
It's not a happy story.
No,
or thing,
no. You know? I'm just like, oh, and they always like, oh yeah. And what if we get hit by an asteroid? What would happen? And what if a planet crashes into the earth? And what if the earth turns into a black hole? Well,
it's
all
a bigger discussion, kids.
All right, let's stick with the sun. So if the sun were to just all of a sudden disappear, this would be a devastating thing for the Earth, that's for sure. I mean, that's where we get all of our light and our heat. So this is not something that we could live through. The whole Earth would just turn into this ice-covered ball pretty quickly, and life would all go out pretty much. I mean, all the plant life would, without being able to see get the sunlight, all plant life would be gone. All animal life would be gone, and the Earth would be an ice-covered ball.
I gotta tell you, in the summer, that doesn't sound that bad.
No, that's not bad.
Sounds like it could be kind of nice and refreshing.
Well, I know. It is a summer day here, and it's very hot in the studio, but nice.
Not the same.
A nice cool breeze of minus 280 degrees Celsius. Sure.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
So, but the good news is, in case somebody else isn't as morbid or as you are, this will never happen. I mean, the sun just won't disappear someday. It's not like it's here one day, gone the next. And so that's a good thing. It's interesting to think about, but luckily we won't have to ever experience it.
I don't know. I mean, okay, I don't want to, I'm not going to drum up drama here.
I don't
know.
Fine.
I don't know. I'm just trying to like keep the... You want to like intensity going.
Well, you're like, give it a chance, Dean. Yeah, give it a chance. The sun
knows?
Can do whatever it wants.
That's
it could
disappear. You don't own the sun. You don't know the
That's
sun.
Right.
It can
exactly.
do what it wants.
Exactly. Nope. In this case, we pretty much know what the sun's going to do.
Fine.
We got five more billion years to go with that sun. And so we got to learn to live with it.
These
Sorry.
Kids have to find something else
not,
to be.
It's not going to go out and get a pack of smokes and not come back. I mean, that's not what's going to happen. It's going to be there for a while.
Oh, man.
I know.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of, I mean, that's way too much reason in that answer. I feel like it was just like, not going to happen, kid.
Well, but I mean.
Calm down.
But we will get an impression of what that would be like when we have this total solar eclipse.
That's right.
I mean, when totality happens, it'll look like the sun has disappeared, that it's gone from the sky. But only for those 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
That's
and
right.
Then the sun comes back to normal and we'll have to wait until the next one.
Well, that's fair.
There we go.
That's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks to James Albury for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter at Looking Up Podcast, or drop us a note at lookingup@wvxu.org.
You can ask us a question, give us a topic suggestion, or ask your kids what they'd like to ask an astronomer or scientist, and we'll try to answer those on future episodes.
And remember to subscribe to Looking Up on iTunes and rate us there, or on Stitcher, or at wvxu.org. Our theme song and additional music is by Y, that's W-H-Y question mark, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, and Josh Elstro and Rick Andrus are our engineers.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.